Good morning. It is Tuesday, June 23rd. Hope everybody's having a great day. Amazing day. Man, full of gratitude today. My Tuesday run day didn't work out today. My brony partner bailed on me. C-Dog. You know, that's why I have a running partner. So that, like, those moments where I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, I know someone's out there relying on me. So I have to kind of put my bullshit aside and just get with the program. And didn't happen today. Good morning. Hope everyone's doing all right. So it is Tuesday. I did a podcast yesterday. I didn't like it, so I never posted it. Yeah. Self creeped in. What's up, Self? Come on in. Oh, you want to go over it with me? Me and Self will go over the podcast, and Self didn't like it, so we didn't post it. Hello. So we'll try again today. Whatever. Yeah, so great morning. Tuesdays is the run day. Big Carlos, he had another plan and decided he was going to do some biking, which is great. It's kind of funny. You know, this area that we run this time of the year, when you get to this certain point, the flies. These fucking golden brown-headed deer flies show up and just wreck you. And I've been running this trail for, I don't know, 20 years. And, you know, I'm used to the flies. I know what's going to happen with the flies. It always, to me, the flies mean that I can't stop, you know. Sometimes it's kind of like life, you know. You just can't stop. You got to keep going. As soon as you stop, shit shows up, right? And that's how this run is, you know, and that's how it is this time of year. It's hot. It's humid. I mean, you have to take the good with the bad. And there's some bad this time of the year, not to mention just the fact that you're fucking running, right? You're running, which sucks. Throw in the heat, because it's hot. Throw in the humidity, it's on you. And then throw these little fucking biting flies. They're not even little, they're big flies. And Carlos and I ran on Sunday, and he's like, it was like Game of Thrones, these dragonflies were attacking me. And I was like, yeah, I get it. And so this morning, he texted me, he said he's gonna do a different run to avoid the flies. And I'm like, of course, I get it, man. No problem. And I was running anyway. I'm fat. I feel fat. I don't know what's going on. Anybody, if I asked anybody if I look fat, of course, everyone would say, yeah, I don't. But I feel fat. I feel like I'm a little dumpy. So, which is fine. Nothing wrong with fat. It's just, it doesn't feel well for me. So I was going to run anyway. And then he texts me, I'm going to ride my bike instead. I'm like, go for it, man. That sounds great. Enjoy. And I finished my run. Amazing run. I started my run off. I'm going to use my app this morning, my Nike app. I'm really going to get a good idea of my time and just, you know, because I've been running this loop so long and use this Nike app that I have all these runs that are stored. So usually I don't turn on the app. I don't really care about my time, but I usually, you know, if it's a good run, I'll post the time that's around in the 10 minute miles. If it's a rough run, maybe in the 11:20s, and if it's just I give up, I just need to get home, maybe I'll post something that's in the 12s or something. I don't care about the time, but I try to be sort of honest. It's all ego. I mean, let's put that right out there. That right now, it's ego. But whatever. And so this morning, I'm like, I'm going to get a good. I've been running. I feel good. And man, it was hot. And it whooped me, and I had to do some walking, and then I checked the app, and it had stopped at 4 miles, so I was like, whatever. But it was, you know, it was a rough run, but it was good. I did, you know, if I leave my house and I end up back in my house, I know I'd do 5 miles. It's a 5 mile loop. It's just a matter of how quickly I do it. And I did this, you know, I was like 9:10 a mile, and I know for all of you runners are out there, that's not very fast. But I'm 51 and I'm, you know, I'm a recovering drunk, drug addict. I'm just grateful I'm running at all. So, but, you know, I was running some decent paces for me, for myself. But at some point I'm like, God, I had to start walking a little and stop and take a break. And I was just, it was brutal. It was hot. So I finally get home, sit down, talking to my wife, and I get a phone call, and it's Sea Dog. Got a flat. And he's like, I think I got a problem. I go, what's the matter, man? I got a flat. And I go, okay. What do you need? I think I need you to come get me. So he was on his way. He was halfway between here and Bethany Beach, which is a pretty good run, pretty good ride, probably a 30-mile ride. And I said, no problem. And I tell my wife, do you want to go with me? She's like, sure. So we're driving, and my wife goes, you know, you're a good friend. And I'm like, why? She goes, because you're going to pick him up. And I'm thinking, privilege, you know, I'm privileged that I can do it. And I told her, I said, listen, you know, there was a time in my life where nobody even called me. Time in my life, nobody called me. Nobody counted on me. Nobody relied on me. And that was one of the cool things I thought when I first got sober was all of a sudden these relationships I started having with normal people. And I think I've talked about it before, you know, just the fact that I was hanging out with somebody that wasn't doing drugs and drinking and behaving like I used to behave, I felt like it was a step up. You know, I remember that first meeting, that person put their hand out to me and said, hey, welcome. And I was like, thank you. You know, I shook hands and I looked at someone in the eye. I wasn't there for something. I wasn't there to get something from somebody. I was there because I needed what these other people had. I didn't realize it at the time. But I had surrendered. I'd given up. Hands up. I quit. What do you got? I'm ready. And it was just a huge shift in my life. And over the years, you build up relationship and you have friends, and all of a sudden, people start counting on you. And that's what Carlos, you know, he called me this morning. He needed me. And I was there. I wasn't hungover. Wasn't sleeping in. You know, I'd finished a run. I was sitting on the porch, sweating my ass off, drinking water and coffee and chatting with my wife. And she's like, "You're a good guy." I'm like, "Well," and I thought to myself, "I'm just normal." I'm like, "He needs us." So, you know, enough of that. We went and picked him up, and he's a fucking character, man. Gotta love fucking Carlos. And he's like, "The damn flies are attacking me here." And I was cracking up. And then we actually picked him up and went and actually had breakfast in Dewey Beach at the sunrise, which is used to be this, like, greasy spoon, you know, dollar eggs. And I think the bill was like $40. You know, it's no longer a greasy spoon. It's high class now. And we chatted and we had fun, and his wife called her. His wife's in, out of town, and, you know, she was appreciative that we went and picked him up and stuff. So it's just one of the great benefits of sobriety for me today, you know, just being available when somebody needs you. I wasn't that for a long time. So that's just, you know, guess I'll stay sober another day. You know, so big weekend this past weekend, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. This topic is what kind of fucked me up yesterday. Just how grateful I am to be a dad, and because there was a big early part of my life I didn't want kids, I didn't want to get married, and you know, 15 years later, you know, I have three wonderful children, wonderful wife, and I'm just super blessed, and you know, I have. I contribute all that to AA and the 12 steps of this program. I can't talk about the program, but that's why I'm here. 12 steps, AA. Amazing program. I was talking to my dad about it last night, and I go, "You know, Dad, these 12 steps are really for life. This is life. Any person on this planet could take these 12 steps and put them towards their life and show and find an improvement." The only reason that it worked for me is because I hit bottom and I was humiliated. And that self, ego, pride got whooped down so much that I became available to make an attempt at it. There, magic does happen. There is magic still left in the world, you know, and I saw it, you know, and it came in the form of a punch to the face. And magically, my ego and my pride got devastated to the point where I became available to try something different. And I'm just so grateful for it today. And I have, you know, had a wonderful Father's Day. Got up on Sunday, went for a nice run. Got all the kids. We went to the beach, hung out. Came home, went over to my buddy Carlos's place, had a good float. I don't know if anybody's ever tried floating, but man, what a amazing thing that is. You get in this dream pod, I think they call it, and I think there's like 10 or 12 inches of this magnesium-rich water, salt water, and you jump in the shower, and you kind of take a cold shower and lower down your body temperature, and then you get into this dream pod, and it looks like a giant egg, really. I think it's like 6 feet by 8 foot giant egg in the middle of the room. You lift up the lid and it's fucking steamy and hot in there. And the lights kind of oscillate through different colors and it's just amazing. And they pump in the music of your choice. I picked nature sounds with guitar. Get into the water, shut the lid, hit the switch, turn off the lights. Like Carlos says, be very still, like it's a lake. I center myself in the middle of the pod, and then I just kind of pull my arms in, and you just float, you know? You're buoyant. It's like floating in the Dead Sea. And you just relax. And the magnesium helps you recover through from running or exercising or stress. It was just amazing. And after my float, I went home, and what did we do? I think I took a nap. And just, you know, just enjoyed the day. Just really grateful. Best thing I've ever done to be a dad. I love it. I don't know if I'm good at it. I'm sure people would say I am. I question myself. My philosophy has always been, sometimes the less I do, the better. You know, can I answer every question for my kids? Can I help them avoid every moment that creates pain and suffering? I could, but does it help? I mean, what am I trying to? I always tell my kids, I'm not a dad. I'm kind of like your sponsor, so, sort of. You know, I'm just kind of like a guide. Listen, you can do this. This might help. Don't do that. But you know, if someone had come up to me at 10 years old and said, "Listen, I'm going to tell you everything you're supposed to do and everything you're not supposed to do, and your life's going to be fantastic," I don't know if it would be fantastic. You know, there's some real growth through humility, embarrassment, shame. You know, and those things usually come, at least for me, when I fail at something. You know, I failed at being a good alcoholic. I failed at being a good drinker. You know, I couldn't just sit, and thank God, but I couldn't just crack open my beers and sit on the couch and just stay there and cause no trouble and then just pass out every night. It wasn't me. I had to get in the car and raise hell and behave badly and drink and drive. And, you know, once I poured that vodka in my mouth, God knows what I was going to do that night. Drugs, jumping fences, swimming in the ocean, taking acid, whatever. And then that guilt and shame the next day. Actually, back then, I didn't have a lot of guilt and shame. I didn't feel bad. It was fine. Back then, it was fun. You know, I didn't have a drinking problem until I quit. Up until that point, I just drank a lot. But the day after I quit, I became an alcoholic. And I find that when I became an alcoholic, it was time to start addressing all the other problems that don't have to do with putting vodka to my mouth. Being there for people, being accountable. I didn't understand any of that. Yeah. So anyway, I hope everyone had an amazing Father's Day. I'm just super excited and, you know, I'm doing a podcast today with my buddy Kiefer Sunborn. Black guy, love this guy. And he texts me, he goes, "Can we do a podcast?" I'm like, "Sure, what do you want to talk about?" He goes, "Well, you know, due to all the shit that's been going on, and I thought we could figure out a way to have a great conversation." I'm like, "Absolutely." You know, the hardest part for me with all this is that I'm not racist, you know? But through all this, I'm learning that I'm not racist, but sometimes I turn a blind eye to some racist behavior. And I think in turn that kind of, it doesn't look good for me, you know. But I don't know if I really knew it. And, you know, I talked a little bit about when I went to the San Diego County Jail and got beat. I was such a shithead that I was like, I probably deserved it. You know, do you ever do that? You do something so bad that you just deserve whatever you get. You know, an ass chewing by your parents or your siblings or your family or your wife or husband or whatever. But a physical beating, I didn't deserve that. That was performed by professionals who should have known better. And I think that that's kind of what the big broad topic is here. So, you know, it's good to chat with my buddy, Kiefer. Such a great guy, you know. I had him on the podcast, another podcast that I do, and him and his son, and they played music and we jammed and you know, it was great to watch him. His son went to the same school as my son went to. His daughter goes to the same school that my son goes to. And it was great to have him and his other son on. And then to watch them jam. We were doing this Delaware Live Music podcast. No, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a Rehoboth Social podcast. I'm not sure. But we were doing a podcast. And it was great to watch those two play because, you know, his son is like, you know, into samples and kind of like that backtrack rap music. And, you know, and he's really good. I don't even know if rap is a fair title for it. You know, he just puts on some backbeat and just freestyles. And his dad was playing the bass guitar. And it was just great to watch his dad kind of peer over at his son and be like, wow, look at him. And then his son kept looking over at his dad like, damn, he's laying down a nice, you know, nice groovy bass track. It was fun. You know, I don't care about color. I really don't. I really, really, really don't care. Sometimes I feel like color makes me work harder at trying to be present in the relationship. You know, I take advantage of just my white friends. Like, yeah, we're just white, whatever. But when I meet and that's the one thing I want to ask Keith for today is like now, I mean, can I say my black friend? Is that I was watching the Apple, whatever it was, their big presentation that they do every year. And the head of Apple's, you know, they kind of had they opened it up with this kind of, you know, a little talk about race relations. And he said to all my black and brown friends, and I was like, what? What's that? It's funny, before this all happened, I had a conversation with my buddy Kifa, and I said, you know, how come it is that when I say I have a friend Kifa that I have to feel like I need to say he's my black friend? And I asked him, I go, what, you know, is that, why is that? And we laughed about it, and how come I can't just be, yeah, my buddy Kifa Sunborn? Why do I have to say after that he's my black friend? I don't know. He is. But I feel like when I have somebody, a friend like that, I need to, you know, pay more attention to our relationship and be respectful. And I always try to be. I mean, I didn't grow up in that time, you know. I grew up closer to that time than like my kids. But I didn't know. There was nothing weird back then. So it'll be fun to chat with him and you know, talk about it, I guess. You know, just another thing about being sober today. What else is going on? Big day today. Busy day working. Still struggling through this COVID-19 thing. Still trying to find the patience for people. You know, some people have more of an opinion on it. Some people are now an expert. I don't know anybody that's sick. But they say that the curve is rising. The second wave is coming. And, you know, I don't... It's weird. The whole thing is freaking weird, man. But, you know, still practicing patience. And that's all I can do. What is everybody else out there doing with it? You know? Are you afraid? I don't know. Does anybody like this podcast? Is anybody listening? You know, it's funny, I don't know how many I've done, 20, maybe 25 or 26 of these podcasts. I've looked to see how many people have listened. A couple podcasts, the ones I checked had some listens. You know, if you like it, you know, send me a text, shoot me a message. You can follow me on Instagram. I just created a, I'm sorry about last night, Instagram page. Check it out. Send me a message. You hate it. You love it. Thank you. If anybody wants to come on and chat, let's chat it out. How's your sobriety? Am I the only person that feels crazier after putting down the drink? Maybe. I don't know. I've hit a self-centered wall with these podcasts, so I'm just going to put this one out there because I feel like I need to kick down the wall a bit. And, you know, I get involved mentally with these things, and then I start becoming critical of them. And really the point of this podcast is just to share my experience of what it's like after I put down the drink. It's not an easy road, and I know I'm not alone. So it's just a laid-back chat. I hope everyone's doing well. I hope everyone's staying sober. If you're struggling with anything, reach out. Ask somebody. Get a hold of your sponsor. Read the book. People used to say, what's your problem? And I go, I don't know. And they say, well, what step are you working on? Well, there it is. And if I was to say I was working on a step today, it would probably be just turning my will over, just letting go, surrendering my opinion, surrendering my thoughts on other people's business, the struggles that I have, the weight on my shoulders. I'm just turning it over. Something I practice every day. Oh, wow. I just saw a guy hit a car. Jeez. Someone just hit a car trying to park in the parking lot. Interesting. Oh, here comes the lady. Arms are up. She just a lady just hit another lady's car, and the other lady is out there with, and now we got some drama. All right, everybody. Well, listen, I hope everyone has a great day. Stay sober. Share if you're having a problem, share it with someone. And the point of today is if someone needs you, try to be there for them. All right, have a great day. Bye-bye.